Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you've given us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let there be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord. Whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea, O Lord. A reading from the second letter to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the one holy and ever-living triune God. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. My name is Drew Bunting. I am glad to be with you today, though I'm sorry to have to be with you today. Father Robert's little boy Simon had a double ear infection this week, and then yesterday afternoon, Father Robert started to get sick as well. And contacted me, and thankfully I was available. I'm a priest. I live in Chattanooga. My wife, April Behrens, is the rector of Grace Church, and I have done a couple of different things around here, and right now I am with you for Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday, across the world right now, preachers are climbing into pulpits to explain to you and to everyone else that there is one God. One God, and only one God. And they are explaining at the same time that the three persons of the Trinity are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that each of them is God, but that there is only one. I've been ordained now for a little over 20 years. Early in my ministry, I was an associate rector for 6 years in a couple of different churches. I did not get to preach very often because there were often many other clergy around and I was not the rector. But somehow, every year on Trinity Sunday, I got to preach. I have to admit, Robert is my friend and I believe him, but there's a little piece in the back of my mind that wonders if he got sick on a convenient Sunday. Before I explain to you, and you're lucky because I'm going to explain to you the Trinity in full, complete, and exhaustive detail, better than any theologian ever has before, I'd like to talk a bit about how the doctrine of the Trinity came to be. Because sometimes I hear people talk about the Trinity and say it's just a doctrine, just an idea, just something that somebody cooked up and decided that everybody had to believe. And that is not what happened. There was no big meeting where all the Christians sat down together and decided that God was three in one and one in three, and they were going to build a theology around that idea. It didn't happen that way. Now, there were subsequent meetings later in the life of the church when everybody did get together and sort of try to hash out their understanding of the Trinity, but the idea of it itself wasn't something that human beings sat down and decided upon. It is something that evolved because we experienced it. We experienced it. First, the people of Israel experienced it. First, they understood God the Creator, God the Father, the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In the beginning, as we heard, God made the heavens and the earth, God the Creator, who said, "I am the Lord, and there is no other." God the Father, there is only one. And woe betide unto those who worship any other false god in the land of Israel. So that was first. We understood there is God and only one. And then we met Jesus. The early experiences of the church showed the existence of God in Christ. Jesus, who lived among them and died and then rose again and ascended into heaven, who did things that only God can do. Well, now this is perplexing, isn't it? Because the church knows from the beginning there is only one God, and they know deep within their hearts that this Jesus is of God and from God and is God. And so these early believers figured out there's more to God than just being the Creator. That there was also God who came to us, God who saved us, God the Son. And then also the church experienced the Holy Spirit. Just as the people of Israel experienced God the Creator, as those first Christians experienced Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the church also understood the presence of the Holy Spirit. And actually, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't just show up after the ascension of Jesus Christ. He had promised the Spirit to them. But the Hebrew Bible is all full of references to the Spirit of God. At the very beginning, as we heard in the book of Genesis in this morning's reading, in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And new believers in the book of Acts on that day of Pentecost received the Spirit and began to preach the gospel in languages that everyone around them understood. The Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire and landed on each of them. The Holy Spirit that guides the church. The church knew it. The church experienced it. And so the church understood that there is also God, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We had experienced them, and therefore we had to try to make sense of that experience. Because it was absolutely clear. I mean, the Bible is super clear. There's only one God. And the Bible is also very clear, and the experience of the church was very clear, that God exists as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. How do you reconcile these two things? You say they're true, both of them, even though they don't make any sense together, that logically they cannot possibly both be true. If, you know, Bertrand Russell or some other logician or philosopher were to sit down and try to map this out, it wouldn't make sense. But we know it's true. God is one, God is Spirit, God is Father, God is Son. The Trinity is not some dogma that was cooked up to confuse us about the nature of God. It is our experience of God. It is the way that God has revealed God's self to us. Okay, now that we know it's not just some Sunday school teacher's mean agenda to confuse children, but rather the experience of the church that has given us this Trinity, let me explain how it works in full, complete, and exhaustive detail. It is difficult, but fortunately I have visual aids. And my apologies, I had to print them on 8.5 by 11 paper, but hopefully you can see this one. A common one used in Sunday school, right? The clover. First of all, if you're trying to download a picture of a clover, it's amazing how difficult it is to find one with only 3 leaves. But here we have, I did manage. Pretty famous, according to legend, St. Patrick used this to explain the Trinity to the people of Ireland, that there are 3 leaves of the clover plant, but that it is only 1 clover. See? God's like that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but just 1 clover. Problem being, that's not correct. Because in this illustration, each of these leaves is part of the clover. It is not the clover itself. Each of them is simply a leaf. And that's not how God works, right? The Holy Spirit is not part of God. Jesus is not part of God. God, the Creator, is not part of God. Each of them is God, fully, wholly. In fact, one way to put it is to say that anything you can say about one person of the Trinity, that's what they're called, the sort of technical theological language, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each a person of the Trinity, that anything you can say about one of the three, you also should say about all three, because each of them is fully God. There's I forget which hymn, there's this amazing hymn by, I think, John Wesley, or Charles Wesley, it's sort of, you sing out, consubstantial, co-eternal, meaning that they share a substance and that each of them is eternal from the beginning of time. Terrible language for people to sing, but, you know, at least accurate theology. But if you have to say that each leaf is the entire clover, then it's a bad analogy. So I'll just leave that one away. Now here's my... Oops, I missed a page. Yeah, pencil, no. Just pretend that this side of my piece of paper says God. Okay, God, the one and holy and ever-living God, the God whom we know to have been revealed as one and no more than one. And here on the other side, we've got the Trinity. I did manage to print them there. Let's see, we got Jesus, of course. We've got the Holy Spirit, and then we've got God, a William Blake a rendering of God the Creator, God the Father. So we've got God the Creator, who made the world, and God is one. We've got God the Son, who came and lived in this world and redeemed it, and also God is one. And we've got God the Holy Spirit, who descended upon the day of Pentecost, and we've got God, who is one. And that's the Trinity, except, of course, that I have to keep flipping it back and forth. And that is not how God works. God is not alternating back and forth between one moment being Son and one moment being Holy Spirit. God is always both of them. So here's another opportunity, another option. An oldie but goodie. God is like water. Anybody ever heard this one before? God is like water, sometimes a liquid, sometimes a solid, like ice, sometimes a vapor, like steam, and always at the same time, H2O. But that is not correct either, because it sounds like there's only one God, but sometimes being one thing and sometimes being another thing. And again, that is not how God works. God does not have three modes of operation. God is always every mode of operation. So this water bottle illustration actually has a name for it. It's a heresy called modalism, operating in different modes. I'm not going to drop this on the floor. So now that I've explained it, I hope you understood everything, you'll see that none of my visual aids work, and that the reason they don't work is that the Trinity is a paradox. It is two contradictory ideas being held in tension together. God is three, God is one, and both are true, and we don't get it. We don't get it. We can't understand it. It is a mystery. We cannot comprehend the doctrine of the Trinity, and I am here today to tell you that that is okay. In fact, that is a gift. It is a gift to us because it means we don't have to try to figure it out. We don't have to try to figure it out because we know from the beginning that we cannot figure it out. So we can spare ourselves the effort of banging our heads against that theological wall and trying to make sense of something that is in fact a mystery at the heart of the divine and beyond us. Some things we're never going to understand. And there's a part of me that is frustrated by that. I like to understand how things work. It is comforting to me sometimes to understand how things work. It's comforting for me to know that if I'm on an airplane and we encounter turbulence, that some basic understanding of, you know, the way that wings are shaped and the way that air currents work, those things together contribute to the phenomenon that is terrifying me at that moment. It helps a little to understand it. But I find sometimes another kind of comfort in not understanding things. I find some comfort in recognizing the fact that some things are God's job and not my job. That's a really important thing for clergy to be reminded of occasionally. It is God's job to keep the gravity turned on in this universe. It is God's job to keep the planets in orbit and to keep us from flying off the surface of the earth. We understand something of gravity, and we're trying always to understand more, but the bigger question of why is there gravity? Well, why is there anything instead of nothing? Ooh, when I taught high school religion, that always threw my students for a loop. The big question of why there is simply outside of our understanding. Why do these rules govern the universe and not some other set of rules? We can't know. Just because God is God and doing that job, and we are not. And we simply live in the universe that God has established. There are things that only God knows. There are truths that only exist in the mind of our Creator. There are mysteries that transcend our understanding. And although sometimes that can be frustrating, it is for me mostly comforting. Because there's a lot of stuff in my life that I already have to figure out. And I had to figure out how to register my youngest child for school this week. I spent an hour on the phone and on my computer with Hamilton County trying to get this one kid registered for fifth grade. I had to figure that out. At least I don't have to figure out God. I find it comforting. There's something I don't have to figure out, that there's a mystery that I don't have to understand. All I need to know, all we need to know, is that that mystery loves us. The purpose of the Trinity is to love. It is a constant outpouring of love from God, the Creator, to God, the Son, and to God, the Spirit, and of love emanating from each of those other two persons of the Trinity back to the others. There's a Greek word to describe the nature of the Trinity. It's a fancy word, perichoresis. It means dancing around. Dancing around, perichoresis, same root as choreography. that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are in a constant relationship of love and joy with one another, and that love and joy emanates out to us, into the universe. The Trinity that is inadequately captured in a picture of a clover or a bottle of water, is in fact a mystery of love that exists in the heart of the universe, that is infinite love being poured out on us. That's great. That's wonderful. Infinite love being directed at you. The depth and breadth and power of love that exists between God in the Trinity is for us as well. Well, if that's the case, so what if we can't figure it out? In fact, good thing that we cannot figure that out. Because if we could pin down and measure the love of God being poured out upon us, then the love of God would not be infinite. I'd much rather have that love be infinite. Infinite to cover all of my mistakes. Infinite to cover all of our shortcomings, no matter what they are. I will take that as it is, that mystery as it is, something beyond my understanding, but something that loves me constantly, more than I could comprehend, and forever. Amen. Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, creator of God the Father,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, but one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became born from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for grace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for Ava, Belinda, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Julianne, Kelly, Cindy, Debbie, Randy, Bill, Peggy,
Share.
Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify God in our own day.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Are there any announcements besides what I have to tell you?
We had a huge crowd food pantry yesterday. We served 56 people.
Wow.
46 cars are groups, individuals. The board is slightly light for volunteers. We got here early. I believe it was about 2:21, or 2:20 we opened at 2 o'clock, and I don't know if it was Daniel Russell. I said, are we about done? Are we halfway? And we weren't even close. But we were well on. But if you've got time, you can volunteer on Saturday. We really need to have three. And tell them when we get back next week, I believe. And so if you're spot open, if you can, please volunteer. Thank you.
Anybody else? Ms. Deb.
Just a reminder about the flower dedications. You sign up on the board at Flower Game Room.
Sign up for flower dedications. Okay. Anything else? All right, a word or two from me. You've all heard the expression, if you can't beat them, join them? Yes? Okay. So this is a practical strategy for problem solving, and it works on a lot of occasions, right? We've all experienced that. Well, church leaders from time immemorial have taken this saying to heart because they have used, if you can't beat them, join them, in the musical aspects of church worship. So they knew in their perhaps not infinite, but substantial wisdom, that people who come to church enjoy hearing familiar music. But the lyrics aren't always, you know, appropriate for the inside of the church building. So many lyricists have composed liturgical, churchy sounding lyrics to popular tunes, and church leaders have allowed that and encouraged that to happen. So what you'll hear today is in that venerable tradition. You are about to hear the tune Auld Lang Syne with some spiritual lyrics, and the attribution is in your bulletin of who wrote the lyrics and what the lyrics are, so you can read those. The lyrics have like four verses or more. I picked out the two that were my personal favorites when I read these. So John and I are going to give you All Glory Be to Christ our King.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For with your co-eternal Son and Holy Spirit, you are one God, one Lord, in trinity of persons and in unity of being. And we celebrate the one and equal glory of you, O Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you've made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you've delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you've brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Gifts of God for you, the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia.
For good measure.